Today we have a tale of two seeds. One is a tale about trust, about being vulnerable to the not knowing. The other is a tale about becoming trustworthy and about being willing and able to hold the vulnerable. But these two tales that we have, they're so short, which I suppose makes sense because they do come from Mark's gospel. Mark's gospel that is brief, dense, and to the point. There's an urgency to these stories that need to be told. And so we've got these tales. And anytime we come across a tale like the first one, this story of the seed that would sprout and grow, anytime we come across a tale like that that is only found in one gospel, this one, it makes me wonder, why? Why tell this story? I mean, especially this one, because seeds, it's kind of expected that they sprout and grow. So why? So you have to remember, Mark's gospel, we think this is the earliest of the four canonical gospels, probably the middle of the first century, when the early Christians were under crushing persecution. And so anytime we have a story or a teaching or a letter in the New Testament, we cannot forget that it was passed down from person to person, from generation to generation, with great purpose and often at great peril and risk. There was something about this story that they needed people to know. What? Well, I think this story is a story they needed to hear because it's about patience. If you read the parable, do you see any part where the farmer's efforts help the seed or the plant grow? No. The farmer scatters seed, the farmer reaps the harvest, but the actions of the farmer have nothing to do with the growth of the plant. I don't like that. And it makes me wonder if these early communities, these small and fragile groups of Christians surrounded by empire, told these stories because they have questions like I've got questions. How can I trust that the seed that I plant will actually grow? How can I trust that this plant is going to have everything that it needs to thrive? So that's one tale of a seed. The other tale of a seed, well, the realm of God, the dominion of God, the kingdom of God is like an invasive species. Because that's what this was. That's what this mustard plant was. For the moment, I want you to remove from your mind's eye any notion of those electric yellow mustard plants that sprout up in vineyards in the area. This mustard is nothing like that. This mustard seed, when it was planted, let's say, in your yard or your pasture or your field, it would grow and grow and grow and grow. It's amazing because when you hold a mustard seed like this from the Galilee in your hand, it is almost imperceptible. It's about the size of ground pepper. And it floats on the wind and will go anywhere. And then it takes root. And the smallest of seeds grows up so high that in a land of oppressive heat and sun, you can find shade. And it grows so broad that the birds of the air can find shelter. Shelter in the most unlikely of places. This is not a story about the dominion of God being like the cedars of Lebanon. I could get behind that kind of realm of God. Mighty, lofty, sturdy. Yes, make the realm of God great again. But no, it's the smallest of seeds that grows up to be this shrub, an unlikely place of shelter. Who have you relied upon for unlikely shelter in your life? Or when has the seeds of the realm of God been sown in you and grown in wild and unpredictable ways so that without warning, in front of you is someone who is seeking your shelter? This past week, I had one of those moments where the realm of God is so real and comes so close that it feels like it rests in the palm of your hand. And I understood what Dame Julian of Norwich was talking about when she perceived all of the universe to be contained in a hazelnut. The story, though, begins many months ago. You all may know that I enjoy teaching in this enterprise called the College for Congregational Development. It's, for me, where the hunger of the world meets my deep gladness, as Frederick Buechner says. And so I was invited to teach at this college that was happening this past week up in Seattle. And I was excited to do it. And then, as an added bonus, it turns out that the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church, Michael Curry, you may have heard of him. He's the only Episcopal rock star I think we've ever had. So he was going to be there too. That was exciting. But because of his schedule, we found out that the week that the college usually was moved back a week. And it happened to coincide with the graduation of one of our sons from elementary school. Now, I was informed that this is not a graduation, it is a promotion. You only graduate from high school and college. But there it was, that very same week. And so I talked with our son and I said, here's the opportunity I have and here's what's happening here that week. What should I do? And this last week, I was at a fifth grade promotion. And it was an amazing thing to witness all of these fifth graders just on the cusp of adolescence, leaving behind that which they have known and bravely stepping out into that which is to come. It was a good thing. And it was later that afternoon, though, that I had this moment of wonder. I had returned to the school to walk our son home. This is a ritual that we do every week. And as I was walking there, I was realizing this is it. This is the last time I'm going to be able to do this. And I knew it. And he knew it. And I am very grateful. I don't know where this idea came from, but I'm grateful that I trusted it. Because I said, well, why don't we say goodbye to each of the classrooms that you've had before we go this last time? And so we were there at his fifth grade classroom, and I got to find out how many books he read this year. And then into the fourth grade classroom. In fourth grade, it was a great year, the history of the state of California. And then to third grade. And when we got to second grade, his teacher was there, and she gave him one of the fiercest hugs and said, I'm going to be watching you. I want to see what happens next. And then we walked across to first grade, and then finally down the grassy slope to his kindergarten classroom, where we peeked through the window and saw the purple circle on the rug where he sat the very first day he was in kindergarten, 6 years, more than half of his life ago. And that's where the tears that had welled up just started spilling over. It's incredible to be there in that moment and to realize the truth of this parable of the seed. Because the seed sprouts and grows, we know not how. First the stalk, and then the head, and then the full grain. And it happens, and we know not how. And then, as we looked around, I recognized all the places of unlikely shelter. The times when I had been able to provide unlikely shelter, when his teachers and his fellow students, and when he himself had provided unlikely shelter. And it was that moment, that very moment, that I realized that this was a harvest. It was a harvest of gratitude and of wonder and of trust and of heartache and of sadness, and of joy, and of promise, right there. And I come to you to say that that's what these seeds are. These seeds are planted within us. We are the seeds planted for others. This is the unpredictable plant that is growing in this world. And it happens in the most unexpected, the most ordinary places. The seed is sown, the seeds of trust and of shelter. You see, friends, life is a tale of two seeds. One is about trust, about being vulnerable to the not knowing. And the other is about becoming trustworthy, being willing and able to hold the vulnerable. And therein lies the realm of God. Thank you.